stay better. We had family come in from Ohio, my nephew, his wife, my niece, and my sister-in-law came in Friday night and woke up Saturday morning with a fever. So she's at the house sick. So if anybody wants her to come over for company, we'll be glad to send her. No, I'm kidding. We wouldn't. But y'all pray for us that we don't start it again. So it's kind of funny. We teach our kids to share. Now we don't want them to share some things, right? We want them to keep it to themselves. But it's good to see y'all here. I'm glad we were able to get out for the weather and everything going on with that. Pray today as we try and preach what the Lord lays on our heart. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and His. There's a lot of topics that I've done here. You try and separate the work of the Holy Spirit. You try and separate it in that He dwells in us, that He leads us, and there's topics and things, but they all intermingle. So I'm having a hard time keeping it all separate in different categories because of the work that He does is so prominent in our lives. But if you've never studied the work of the Holy Spirit, you really ought to. You really ought to, because the work that He does, what He does in our lives, how He leads us, what He leads us into, the way He leads us, the purpose of His leading, all of it is a wonderful study. And we tend to sometimes, as I mentioned when we started this, we tend to shy away from this, of the Holy Spirit, the workings of the Holy Spirit. We mention Him in verses, but we don't. I haven't heard a lot of messages preached on the Holy Spirit, and the only thing I can come to is because it's like getting excited. We're afraid to get excited because we may be Pentecostal. You know, we shy away from those things. We don't want anybody saying anything about us, so we don't want to stand out by no means. So when we agree with something, I look out there and I see people smiling. And when nobody know, right? But we need to tell you, when you read the Word of God and when you're here in services, that there are some subjects that preachers preach on that just talking about them get me excited. You know, and it ought to be that way with almost every aspect of the Word of God. It ought to excite us, especially the things that Christ has done for us. When you talk to someone about your salvation, is it a humdrum thing for you to tell what Christ has done for you? That He saved you? Do you tell it in monotone? Or do you still to this day get excited talking about the day that Christ saved you? You ought to get excited about that, right? Because it changed your life. It affected you. And that's what we talk about here with the Holy Spirit, that He dwells in me. Christ left and He told the people, turn if you will to John 16 is where we're starting out here. And this is, we didn't get very far. Last time I think we covered two verses, one and a half maybe. But John 16, we started in verse 7. And my glass is out so I can read it. But in John chapter 16, and starting in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you, this is Christ doing a talking to His apostles, He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. He says, it is necessary. It is a good thing for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And Christ died on the cross. Think, well, that in the apostles, you put yourself in their place. And after this, they died. After Christ died on the cross, it wasn't long. Peter said, "I go fishing. I quit. I'm done." Well, but God wasn't done with Peter yet, was He? He wasn't done, and the Lord called him back. And when I think about that with Peter, I think about my dad, who when he was pastoring at Louisiana, it was rough. And I've told you, I hated Louisiana. I despised living there. But the Lord used that for me. He taught me a lot of things. I told you about Uncle John, who lived in Louisiana, who would not leave me alone. I did not like Uncle John, but Uncle John is very dear to my heart. He died before I was saved, but yet he witnessed to me every chance he got. Every chance. And I let him know that I despised the man. He didn't care that I despised him. He cared more about my soul than me liking him. And that's been a witness to me ever since. And the lost people around us, we should care more about their eternal soul than what they think about us, because there's more at stake than what they think about you and me. There's much more at stake. But, you know, my dad, after Louisiana, he told us, I'm not pastor anymore. I'm done. I quit. Mom and dad bought, we lived in a parsonage. He had nowhere to go. He bought a house in Russellville, Arkansas, because my uncle said he'd put him to work. And he put him to work. He lived there. We lived there for like 8 months. That's it. And the church where dad's pastor now, where I came from, Independence Baptist Church in Forestell, Missouri, called him and wanted to know if he'd come in view of a call. And dad said, I quit. And Cecil Law says, I know you did, but we want you to come in view of a call. He's been there going on 31 years. The Lord wasn't done with him. Just like Peter, the Lord wasn't done with Peter. You know, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord, what I want you to understand about all of this, there's more to being saved than just being saved. There's more to service to the Lord. The Holy Spirit, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into us and dwells in us. He leads us. What does he lead us into? What does he lead us to? He tells us here in John 16 in verse 12 or verse 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's what the Holy Spirit leads us into. That's what the Holy Spirit teaches us. That's what he shows us. He shows us all truth. How does he do that? It's Brother Bowen talked about there's difficult things of the Bible to understand, right? There's things of the Bible that are hard to understand. There's things that we will never understand. You know, we see things in the Bible, and I believe it, but I can't explain it to you. You know, there's things there that our minds will never completely get a hold of. But there's also things that are very deep into the Word of God that you can't understand, but it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take study. How does the Holy Spirit lead you into those deep things? How does he do it? There's more than just being saved and coming to church. You can be saved and come to church, but you're not going to flourish. You're not going to grow into a flowering Christian, if you will. You're not going to have a lot of fruit. What do you want to be? I mean, if we planted apple trees out here, do you want to go out there and pick one apple off each tree a year? Would that be satisfactory to you? Then how come in your life one or two fruits a year is okay for you? It shouldn't be, right? It's not okay for the apple trees. You go away, you plant an apple tree, and you water it, and you take care of that. You go out, you expect to fill buckets up, right, with fruit. That's what you expect. So why should it be any different for our lives, the fruit of our lives in the Spirit? It should be the same, and that's what the Holy Spirit leads us into, those fruits, if we follow him, if we allow him to lead us into those things. But how do we allow him to lead us? How does he lead us into those deep truths? He leads us through those truths that are plain and simple. That's what he starts with. Look, you are not going to get the deep things of God's Word if you won't do what you know to do. You're not going to. You're not going to get it. You're not going to. You can make all kinds of excuses. You can make all kinds of reasons and everything else. But I'll tell you what, God knows your heart. God knows the truth of it. You are not going to grow if you will not do what you're supposed to be doing. You won't. The Holy Spirit leads us into those truths. And that's what I want us to see and understand. That whole big thing of all this lesson of the Holy Spirit is to see that there's more. You can know all the doctrines of the Bible and still not grow. Because the doctrines are the foundation, yes. But you've got to add to your faith by being in God's Word, by reading, by studying, And by finding those deep truths and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to open up, to give you wisdom according to His Word, that He leads us into all truth. In verse 13, He says, "For He shall not speak of Himself." The Holy Spirit does not tell you about Him. He will never tell you about Him. That's what the Bible says. He says, "But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." The Holy Spirit opens up our eyes as we read the Word of God. Look, when you're reading the Word of God, or you're sitting there and I'm preaching, or whoever's preaching, Brother Bowen, Brother Kevin, or somebody else is preaching, you're listening to a message, however the Word of God is getting to you, and you see something you've never saw before, that is not your intellect seeing that. That is the Holy Spirit opening up your eyes to that. That's what that is. The Holy Spirit opening those things up to you and showing you the truth of His Word. That's why you have to be in His Word. That's how He works, is through the truth that you already know. He opens up more truth. In verse 14, He says, "He shall glorify Me." The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. The Holy Spirit will not glorify Himself, but He glorifies Christ. He says, "For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." Everything the Holy Spirit shows us, where does He get it from? Gets it from Christ. We learn more about Christ through the Holy Spirit is how we learn. It's how we grow in Christ. It's how we grow in our spiritual walk. Is through the Holy Spirit, by following Him, allowing Him to lead. The Bible tells us, and we're going to get into this later, that quench not the Spirit, right? You know what that word quench means? It's like putting out a match, putting out a fire. You have a fire, you go camping, and you're fixing to leave your campfire. You're done camping, you have a camp. Well, what do? You just walk off, let the fire burn itself out? No, you go put it out. You put water on it. You mix it all up to make sure it's all out. You quench that fire. Did you know by not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're quenching the Spirit? The Bible tells us not to. Not to put out the Spirit. Don't push down the Spirit. To do your own will. He tells us over and over again to serve Him, to follow Him, listen to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Verse 15, He says, "All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you." So we saw in verse 14 that He says, look, everything this Holy Spirit shows to you is Mine. And in verse 15 He says, everything that is Mine, God gave to Me. The Father gave to Christ, and Christ shows it to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit shows it unto us. That's how we grow. Is through the Spirit. Look. We have two natures. If you're here today and you're saved, you have two natures, right? You have two natures. Which one is going to win in your life today? Which nature is going to win? Let me tell you how to know which one's going to win. The one you feed. Say, well, today I'm in church, so my spiritual nature will win. What about tomorrow? What about tomorrow when you're not in church? Tomorrow when you go to work? Which nature is going to win tomorrow? When you're there at work and you're around people that don't go to church. You're around, I worked in construction, and it doesn't matter where you work. Construction is not the worst. I've talked to people that work in factories, and it seems sometimes that's even worse. Or in office buildings, I talked to them, and they all had the same story. It doesn't matter where you go. There's people that we don't need to be around. Which nature is going to survive then? Which nature is going to win tomorrow? Well, it depends on which one you feed. That's the nature that's going to win. We're feeding our physical nature. Our physical nature is eating every day, right? It's eating every day in this world. It's eating of the things of this world. This flesh loves the things of this world, and it's going to devour the things of this world. But your spiritual nature doesn't like the things of this world. Your spiritual nature loves and thrives on the Word of God. That's how you feed your spiritual nature. It's through the Word of God. It's by allowing the Spirit to thrive in His Word and to show you the things of Christ. That's where they come from. That's where we see those things. He leads us into the deep truths through the plain and simple truths that we know. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 8. I've been struggling with how to do this morning. I've been praying about it, and I've got notes all over the place here. In Romans chapter 8, look in verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Are you here today and saved? Yes, I'm saved. Are you led by the Spirit? Are you following the Spirit of God? And you look at this. He says here, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, I'm going to tell you this. I've heard preachers preach this, and they've read this verse, and they have said this. They said, when that says sons of God, what it means is sons and daughters of God. But that's not what that means. Not what that means. He doesn't mean sons and daughters of God. He means sons of God. So, well, you mean no women? No. Follow the way that we are heirs, right? That's what the Holy Spirit teaches us. That's what the Holy Spirit shows us in His Word. And that's what I'm going to read here a little bit, that we are heirs with Christ, right? When Moses, when they were dividing up the promised land, right? Who did they give the land to? You remember there was three sisters that came to Moses when they were dividing up the promised land and said, "Hey, how about us? Our father had no sons. So there, our father's name is never, it's going to be gone. So what about us?" Because all the promised land was divided up between who? The sons. Because it followed the name, it stayed in the land stayed in the families, right? Whose family have we been adopted into? God's family. We are heirs with Christ. We've been chosen. We've been adopted. And the Holy Spirit, as you read the Word of God and you begin to understand these doctrines and these deep things that we are heirs, that the Holy Spirit dwells in me and He leads me into these things and teaches me these things and opens up His Word, it causes me to want to live more for Him. It opens up my eyes to different things and makes me want to be more like Him, like my Father is. Well, Moses made a special, I think that's what it's a special thing for those three daughters that they got the land. Whoever married them took their name so that their dad's name would continue. When he says here, we are the sons of God, I don't mean to offend, but it's not talking about sons and daughters. It's talking about sons of God, because man or woman, you are considered a son of God. That's what you're considered. It's because you are an heir. You think about the prodigal son. We don't have anything about a prodigal daughter coming back, do we? Because the daughters didn't ask for their inheritance. They married the son that got the inheritance. Right? That's how that works in the Bible, and that's what he means by sons of God. So when you read those things, understand that man or woman, when God looks at you, you are an heir. You're an heir of His. You are a son of God. I hope I'm making that clear and not confused. If I confuse you on it, talk to me and I'll do my very best to make it unconfused if I can do that. But look in Romans chapter 1, chapter 8, verse 1. I'm just going to read down through here a little ways and show you what he's talking about, that we can see the Holy Spirit working in us. It says in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Look, you're here today and you're saved. This is a wonderful verse because it gives us great hope. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you want to do a neat little study, a really neat study, I've told you before that I believe that every word is placed where it ought to be in the Bible, in the order they ought to be in, right? There's a reason for those words being there. So do a little study. Look these four words up. Look up Christ Jesus, everywhere that's mentioned, and look up Jesus Christ where that's mentioned. Why are they backwards sometimes? You know there's a reason why they're backwards. There's a reason why it says Christ Jesus here. And I'll let you figure up why. You look it up and you figure out why that it's Christ Jesus sometimes and other times it's Jesus Christ. There's a purpose for it. It's a neat little study. But there's no condemnation to those that walk, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. That means that we don't do the things we want to do, but we walk after the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we follow the things of the Holy Spirit that He tells us to do. We follow the things of Christ. We live our lives the way we ought to live. We have fruit. We bear fruit. That's reality. There is no condemnation. When we stand before the Lord, what is He going to see in us? He's going to see the blood of Jesus Christ. What are you going to see? That's what He sees now. The reason for that? Verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." It's not because of me that there's no condemnation. It's because of Jesus Christ. What He's done, that's why I'm free. That's why I've been saved, is because of Him, not because of me. Verse 3 says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Look, we could not keep the law. And that's what He says there, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. We could not keep the law, but Christ could. Christ came, and He lived a perfect life. It tells us there that for God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. In the likeness. He didn't come as sinful flesh. He came as perfect and lived a perfect life. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin because He lived a perfect life in the flesh. He done what we could not do. And He died on a cross. Verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're here today and you're saved, there's more to being saved than just trusting in Christ once. There's more. There's more out there. There's endless opportunities. There's endless amounts of growth. But God is not limited on how much you can grow. God is not limited on how much you can flourish, on how much fruit you can have. He's not limited. He can bless. If we would just let Him. But a lot of times we don't. A lot of times we get our own flesh involved. And He keeps saying, we've read four verses so far, and three or four times we've said that doesn't follow the flesh. You want to live in the Spirit. You want to follow the things of Christ. Do not follow your own flesh. Do not. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit leads us. But we have to follow Him. We have to follow the things that He says to do, what His Word says. In verse 5, He says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." You can say whatever you want to say. You can say that you believe God's word. You can say that you read it every day. You can tell me all kinds of things. You can come in here and you can walk the walk. You can talk the talk. Then what happens one day if I show up to work unannounced? What am I going to find there? How am I going to find you behaving there? See, here is not the test. You understand that, right? This is not the test place. Out there is the test. This is where you get instruction. This is where you get guidance. This is where you get leadership. But out there is where you put the practice. You're tested out there. How are you going to live tomorrow at work? Tomorrow at work, are you going to laugh at those jokes that you would not laugh at here? What are you going to do? See what I'm saying? There's more to serving the Lord than just an appearance of serving the Lord. There's more. There's so much more. When you begin to, I hope that you will look up every place the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is mentioned in the Bible and look at these verses. I hope you will. Because you will find the same thing I'm finding, that there's so much more to serving the Lord. There's just more. So much more that you can't put words to it. It's limitless how he can bless and what he can do for us. But we have to not follow the flesh. Verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You're here today and you're saved. You should be serving the Lord. You should be. It's not just the actions. I've said that before already a couple times this morning. It's not just the actions that you do. It comes from your heart. That's what we're talking about. There's more than just a knowing what to do, but doing it and why you're doing it and wanting to do it. You know, I've told you before that my mom would tell me to go clean up my room or my dad would tell me to do something, and I would do it, but I wasn't happy about it. You know, my mom showed me how to wash clothes. I knew how to wash clothes. I knew how to do laundry. I knew how to fold and put up and everything else. But then when I moved out on my own, you know what I discovered? My socks and underwear drawer broke. I knew how to do it, but all of a sudden one day, I opened up my drawer and guess what? There was nothing in there. There's a difference in knowing how to do it and doing it. And I know that's a silly example, but that's the first one I thought of and that's what stuck to my mind. But you know, you learn those things and you see that. In our spiritual life, we can say, we can know how we ought to live. We can know what we ought to do. But that's not enough in knowing. The Bible tells us, God tells us in Matthew chapter 7, he that hears and do my word. You have to do what Christ says. Do what his word says. Live it. Put it to action. When we don't put it to action, understand, when you do not put what you know to action, you are actually quenching the spirit within you. That's what you're doing. You can justify, you can say whatever you want to say, but the fact of the matter is, when you do not do what you know to do, you are pushing down the Holy Spirit within you. That's what you're doing. I don't care what you call it, that's what you're doing, and that's biblical that you're doing that. We don't need to do that. We need to follow the Spirit. Spiritually minded is life and peace. It doesn't say it's going to be easy. It doesn't say that all your troubles are going to go away. But what he says is you're going to have peace. When you follow me, I will give you peace. That's what he says. Look, we're going to have hardships. We're going to have hard times in our lives. We're going to have difficulties. You know, I learned a long time ago that you're going to get to the end of the road. You're going to get to the end of the trouble one of two ways. This is what I found out for me. Going through a hard situation, a hard time, struggle, I'm going to get to the end of it. It's just, how do I want to get there? With or without an ulcer. That's it. with or without. That's it. I'm still getting to the end. It's still coming. It's still going to be over with. It's just, how is my shape of my body going to be? Because I would worry and struggle with things and hurt and ache. And then one day I figured out, I still get to the end. Do I want to worry and struggle through it? Or do I just want to trust the Lord and have no ulcer? Which do you want to do? You have a lot more peace when you trust the Lord. Have a lot more peace in your struggles when you just let Him lead. Instead of trying to do it ourselves. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity, it's enemy against God. This flesh is totally opposite of everything God is. This flesh is totally opposite of that. It says, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're following your flesh, you are not pleasing God. Simple. I don't know how to put it any other way to you, how to say it any other way. When you decide, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and you can justify, you can make yourself feel all warm and fuzzy about it, but the simple truth is, you're not pleasing God. Simple. Not hard, is it? It's not difficult. But we don't like hearing that, do we? And I'm sorry that I'm saying it like that, that you don't please God when you do not do what God's word is, but I think we need to hear it sometimes. We are not pleasing God when we do our own thing. He tells us, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. If you're here today and you're saved, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What he's saying there is, look, if you're saved, your flesh is to be dead to you. You are not to follow the desires and the wants of the flesh. You are to be following the Spirit. The flesh is when you were saved, you died to sin. That's what he's saying. Your flesh, your spirit should be alive and well and flourishing and growing, and your flesh should be dying. The desire of that flesh should be what you're pushing down. And flourishing and living and following the Spirit. Why? He tells us there, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? Are you saved? And the Holy Spirit dwells and lives in you. Do you act like it? Do other people say that about you? Would Christ say about you that you're following Him? It says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. No matter what he says, if he doesn't follow the Christ, and the Spirit is not in him, he's not his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Whose righteousness is life? The Spirit. It's not my righteousness that makes my body, my spirit alive. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that our hope is in. It's Him. I got to hurry here. Verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look, we have the Spirit in us, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, what are we able to do? We are able to mortify, to kill the flesh. Paul talks about walking around, carrying around dead men with him. That's what he talks about, that other nature in us. By the work of the Holy Spirit, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are able to not follow the flesh. We're able to do that. But when we, I'm going to say it again, when we don't listen to the Spirit, you know, how many times a day do you have to remind yourself that you're not the one you're following? How many? Once? I hope you can only do it once. Me? I don't count. You know what I mean? It's over and over and over. It's a daily thing. It's an hourly thing, it seems like. It's a minute by minute sometimes. That I've got to remind myself that it's not about me. It's about what the Lord wants. It's about serving and following Him. It's about seeking His face in those things. Look, very quickly, look in verse 26. I was going to read all down through. Y'all read down through when you get a chance. Read down through here. We got to verse 14, but on down through verse 15, it talks about what the Holy Spirit does, how He works in us and everything. But look in verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times that we hurt. There are times in my life when I've been in places that all I knew to pray was help me. That was the only words that would come out, was help. I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what to pray for. I didn't know how to pray. All I knew was that I couldn't. All I knew. You've been in places like that, and there's times in our lives when, say, the Holy Spirit does so much in our lives. He works with us. He teaches us. He dwells within us. You know the saying, people would say, what would you do if Christ was here? But Christ is here. If you're here today and you're saved, you need to understand it is a reality that everywhere you go, you take the Spirit of Christ with you, the Holy Spirit with you. You take Him. Everywhere. Everything you look at, everything you read, every show you watch on TV, everything you write down, every thought you make, the Holy Spirit is there seeing every bit of it. We need to know that. But we forget that way too often, that everything we do, the Holy Spirit's there. If you heard that next Sunday, Christ was going to be here in the service, how many of us would be late? How many of us wouldn't be here? If you heard that Christ was going to be in the services next Sunday, I would just about bet every person on a church roll would be here, including more, right? Christ is here. He is here. We need to understand that everything we do, everywhere we go, Christ knows and He sees. You look up everywhere the Spirit is mentioned. And we read it this morning. Some verses talk about the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Everything the Holy Spirit shows us came from God. Everything. He doesn't brag on Himself. He doesn't glorify Himself, but He glorifies Jesus Christ. And He shows us more and more about Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what He does in us. That's His leadership, is to bring us closer to Christ. And that's where we need to be. That should be our goal in life, is to be more like Him every day. Because that is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. That's what He's wanting, is to lead you closer to Him, closer to Christ. If you're here today and you're lost, the Holy Spirit is the one that draws. He's the one that calls. If you're here today and you're lost and you're burdened about your salvation, your lost condition, and you want to be saved, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen. Just repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will save you today. I promise you that. He will. If you say, well, I've asked and he hasn't saved me, then you keep asking. You keep going to the Lord. You keep praying. You keep asking him to save you. Because one of these days you'll give up on yourself. Don't trust in your trusting. Don't trust in your asking. You trust in Jesus Christ. And he'll save you. I hope this will be a blessing to you and a help. Let's have a song of invitation. If you would, and let's go ahead and stand.